Why? Because there's no standard. As Christians, we have the standard, which is the Word of God. And that standard will keep you anchored and balanced. And it is not what I say or what I think. It is what God says that counts. And look, this, it works. This Bible, it works. I have seen it. I'm no preacher's son or anything, or my great-granddaddy is a preacher. No. I got saved. My folks went to church some, but I mean, I was no preacher's kid, so I was very skeptical, okay? But then if I see something working on somebody and I see it working for them, I'm like, let me try this thing out. People, I saw that they were really trying to live according to this. They had peace. They had joy. They had direction. They had purpose. And I had studied other religions. But I'm going to tell you, and I studied them with an open mind, an open heart to learn, to receive it. I was open. And I tried Buddhism. I tried Hinduism. Studied Islam. All these different things. But nothing could quite do me. Like the old folks used to sing the song, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Because only Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Buddha did not die on the cross for our sins. Allah did not die on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ, everyone say Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins. And in this Christian walk, he wants to talk with us. He wants to communicate with us. Even the one song we sing, "You know my name. I want to walk with you, talk with you." You know, he walks with me. He wants to talk with us, and that's what prayer does. And one thing that I've noticed, and in this 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13, I'm going to go through a lot of different scriptures. Some will be on the overhead for you just to write down or take notes. But we see when you pray, it changes your focus on things. It changes the way things look. The situation may be the same, but the way you see it now is not the same. In other words, let's take this notebook for example. All right. This is symbolic of a problem. All right. A problem. If this is right up in my face, all I see is this problem. I cannot see anything in front of me. I have to even be careful walking down a step. Okay, all I see is this problem. But when I pray, it pushes it away a little bit. Now, wait a minute, I can see old Joel in my peripheral vision. So I see it's not just this notebook, I see other things. As I pull it a little bit further, as I read the word, it gets a little bit further away from me, and now I can see my beautiful wife. All right. Now all of a sudden, as you get further, I can see a bunch of folks now. The problem is still there, but my focus is not just on my problem. Some of you all you're doing is talking about your problem. Some folks love their problem. Some folks say, "I'm sick, the doctor said it." They talk about the medication, they talk about this, they talk about that. All they're talking about is their sickness, and that's it. As opposed to, okay, we're not going to be in denial. Oh, yeah, okay, if you're sick, okay, you're sick. But wait a minute, as I pray and read that word, wait a minute, Jesus bore all my sins and sickness on that cross at Calvary. Now I see Psalm 133, that God not only, Psalm 103, forgives my sin, but heals all my diseases. Now I know that, wait a minute, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now I read somewhere that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, this problem is getting smaller and smaller right now. Why? Because God is bigger than our problem. And whatever it may be, depression. Somebody here, you may be struggling with depression. And all of us have days. Some of us have good days. Some days I'm up, some down, sometimes level to the ground. But it doesn't matter how I feel. God is greater than my feelings. Now, what I find, though, is the more consistent, everyone say consistent, the more consistent I am with reading the Bible, with coming out to service, with praying, the better all of a sudden, this problem, I've got a hold on it. It does not have a hold on me. Now, amen, give God a hand clap of praise. Now, in this text that we're looking at tonight, as 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13, what's happened is the king of Syria heard about Elisha. He said, okay, I've got to take this Elisha in, this prophet. Because all of a sudden, the Assyrians were against Israel, and all of a sudden, Elisha, as the man of God, if you're walking with the Lord, you can be a step ahead of the devil. Amen? God wants us to be a step ahead of the devil. And this king of Assyria said, my goodness, he said, what's going on with this prophet Elisha? Actually, in verse 12, it said, one of his servants said, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 12, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest, that you speak in your bedchamber. In other words, God was giving him a word of knowledge, and he was able to share those things to the king of Israel. And look what the king of Syria said. Verse 13, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent, this is the king, he sent horses, chariots, and a great host. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? He looked out, and what he could see was they were surrounded. They were surrounded by horses, chariots. They were surrounded by the enemy. That's even that one song. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Amen. This is how I fight my battles. Y'all know that one. Amen. It looked like he was surrounded. He was surrounded. His servant saw it. He said, master, we are surrounded. But when you pray, when you seek God, you don't just see what's right in front of you. You see the bigger picture. Look what happened. What did he say? What did the man of God say? Verse 16. And he answered, Elisha said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. He said, don't be afraid. There's more with us than with them. And look what it says, verse 17. And Elisha, what did he do? Prayed. He prayed. That's all. That's it. Yes, that is it. He prayed. We cannot underestimate the power of prayer. And I've even seen this in my own Christian walk with the Lord. Especially when I first became a believer, I would want to try to persuade or argue or get in debates or just people that I loved. I just could not understand why they were doing the things and they were rejecting the Lord, not wanting to hear it. But now what I've come to realize is the power of prayer. Amen. How many of y'all saw that movie War Room? Amen. That's one of my favorite movies. Amen. You got to go in that war room sometimes, because you cannot be everywhere at all times, but God can. God sees. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It tells us the eyes of the Lord are in all places, beholding the evil and the good. So God can touch hearts. He can touch hearts. He can touch minds. He can arrest people where they are. And some folks, you have to put on your Holy Ghost hit list. Your Holy Ghost hit list. I mean prayer list. I'm sorry. It's like, Lord, you get them. And I tell you what, I've seen God do that. I've seen guys where the Lord has opened up the door. I've had a chance to minister to guys in jail, and all of a sudden they're like, man, they break down. They're like, yeah, my grandmother, she's saved and prays for me. And I'm like, God sent this preacher to tell you, man, get it together. And it's like, yeah, I mean, a big tough guys, man, see them break down. Because there's power in prayer. Oh, prayer works. Prayer works. Look what happened in this case when Elijah prayed. What did he say? He said, Lord, I pray you, open his eyes, my servant, that he may see. And look what God did. The Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elijah, when the people came to try to get him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And then you can read the rest of that when you get home later on, how God continued to move in this. But the point being, it's prayer. Now, prayer, one thing that I've found in walking with the Lord is a lot of times our prayers can be like one-sided, where it is like, okay, God, I want this, I want that, or like a wish list of some sort. God, I want this, will you do this, will you do this, will you do this? When prayer, it's a couple things that occur, and yes, God tells us, your desires, it's okay to pray, to ask God for things. It is okay, biblical, to do that. But many times, the answer, God will answer our prayers, like they say, sometimes yes, sometimes no, and then what's the third time? Wait. And those are the tough ones. It's like, God, can't I just get a yes or no? It's like, wait. All right? But sometimes it's not even that. In communicating with God, when we pray to the Lord, let me give you an example. Say you're looking for another job. Say the job you have, you're like, Lord, I'm praying you bless me with another job. All right, so you're asking God. But you don't just ask him and then that's it. There's things that you still have to do. You have to make an application. You have to keep your ears open for opportunities. Because God can answer that prayer, but you have to be in alignment. Amen. To receive the answer to that prayer. But if you're sitting here saying, well, hey, Lord, I pray that you bless me with a job. This job is terrible. I want a better job, Lord. Bless me indeed in the name of Jesus. And I mean, you can do all kinds of things, but if you don't get up and put that application in, you're not going to get that job. Amen? There's things that we have to do. There's things that God sometimes will cause us to do to be in alignment. I remember when I was back in college, I prayed. I said, Lord, I desire to have a wife. I desire to have there's a lot of women out here, but there's only one you have for me. So I prayed that prayer. Now, on Friday night, if I was going out to the clubs, going out to the bars, going out to all these places, I prayed the prayer. I said, God, your word says it is not good for man to be alone. That you'll find him a suitable helpmeet for him is what he told Adam. I said, Lord, I pray. So in the meantime, God's like, Friday night, Bible study on campus. So I went Friday night. Rather than going to the clubs, the bars, the worldly single stuff, I went to that Bible study. And then that's when the Shekinah glory fell on this young lady that I saw. Amen. Not just the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. When the Shekinah glory falls down. So then all of a sudden, and then that's where I met my wife. That's where we met Stacy. We met there. Why? Now, I prayed the prayer, but then as I prayed the prayer, it's pursuing God, communicating with him, and then he says, go here, I've got something for you. But many times in prayer, we want a prayer answered, but we don't want to change a single thing in our life. We want God to answer this prayer, but do not want to do anything different. All right? That is just like health issues, okay? I've got to watch my blood pressure. All right? Now I can say, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you know, lower this blood pressure. But if I'm drinking 10 cups of coffee and 6 monster drinks every day, it ain't going to happen. I can pray and speak in tongues and run around the church. There's certain things God's like, leave that caffeine alone. Monitor that caffeine intake. Monitor how much sleep you're getting. Oh, come on, God, that's work. Yes. But see, it's in alignment. Because as I'm in alignment with certain things, then all of a sudden we see the hand of God move. See, a lot of times we do the same thing with finances. You know, you may have financial trouble. Lord, bless me with a financial miracle. This 2024 is my year. Bless me with the financial breakthrough, finances. And then you all of a sudden on the radio hear a seminar on budgeting. Oh, I don't like budgeting. I don't got time for that. Well, God's answered the prayer. It's just not the way you wanted it to be answered. So a lot of times, say, we have to have our ears hearing the voice of the Word of God, because many times you can be in a rut as a Christian, and you can be going to church regularly. You can even be ministering. You can be teaching, preaching, singing, ushering, working behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, outside, inside, but still be in a spiritual rut. How many of y'all have ever been there? I've been there before. It's like, man, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. And in those situations, I had to evaluate, okay, how much time am I reading this Bible every day? All right. And even though I encourage everyone, you know, to do the reading through the Bible in a year. Now, you may say, well, I'm doing it this year, reading it through chronologically. All right. Now, as you read through the Bible, you may say, well, I started, but, man, I fell off the wagon, so I'll just pick it up next year. The devil's a lie. You better pick that. You're going to pick it up today and pick up where it was left off at. If the reading today was in Joshua's, what it was in my chronological, then just jump on Joshua. We'll catch up with the other stuff later on. I'm saying that to help you. I'm saying that to encourage you, because I want to see breakthrough in your life. And you spend time with God's Word, and even as a teacher or preacher, I cannot substitute sermon preparation or lesson preparation for my personal study of God's Word. I cannot say, well, I prepare for this so I don't have to study the Bible, do my regular devotion. No, I'm doing my regular devotion. Then you can hear the voice of the Lord, and it can put you in alignment. Everyone say alignment. It can put you in alignment to see the hand of God move. Amen. See, when you pray, your conditions, a lot of times too, your conditions may not change. Your conditions may not change, but God will change your condition in the midst of it. Okay? Let me say that again now. When you pray, your conditions may not change, but God will change the way you view your conditions and your condition. All right, in other words, it can be raining outside. It can be cold. When we go to your cars tonight, it's cold out. You can put that heat on and be sweating inside that car. The conditions on the outside are still cold, but you've adjusted the conditions on the inside. And you see, that's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to adjust conditions on the inside and just say, okay, Lord, I cannot change this, but what I can do is that. Amen? Amen. So as we look on this thing, we have a couple different, God wants to change us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your God, by the renewing of your mind, that you may, as far as receiving, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove, to test the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And as we're looking on prayer, I'm going to pull up the one slide, the first slide. We're going to plug into the power of prayer. These are some verses. I encourage you to write these down, take a picture of it. These verses, and we're going to go through just a couple of these that really encourage you in prayer. Luke, let's turn to Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 reads, this is Jesus. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. That's Jesus telling them men ought to always pray and not give up. We need to be persistent about prayer. We need to be like a pit bull. We need to be like the Jacob when he wrestled with that angel and said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm going to travail. I'm going to pray. Sometimes God will have you fast. I'm going to press. I'm going to be persistent. It's kind of like our little dog. We have a little dog. He's like a half Shih Tzu and half hot dog dog, whatever that's called. I don't know what's a hot dog dog. Dachshund, yeah. We'll have him tied up on a thing, and the next thing, his name is Sushi, by the way. Sushi roll, that's what the girls say. But all of a sudden, we're like, how in the world did Sushi get loose? We have him tied up, you know, by the tree. When he's out of his pen, we'll let him tie up around this tree. But he just keeps going and going and going, and he stretches that rope, and we're not noticing it. But he's just pulling it. All of a sudden, bam, this little 20-pound dog breaks this rope. Why? Because he's persistent. We need to be persistent to where we're like, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to speak your word. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Amen. I'm not going to let this thing take over me. I've got dominion over it, whatever it is. We need to be persistent. And Jesus gives an account in verse 2. It says, there was in a city a judge, which this man did not fear God, neither regarded any man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God or regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjudged saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now, I'm going to tell you what. And he said, I tell you, verse 8, that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? I mean, there is something about being persistent. As we look at the different verses, the 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, says, pray without ceasing. Now, that does not mean that you go around with your eyes closed praying. But it's a mindset. Everyone say mindset. Say attitude of prayer. Of prayer. We have that mindset, that attitude of prayer. Even though I do, I drive a tractor trailer locally, and I'm driving the thing in the woods and getting wood chips, logs, things like that going down the road. I got to have my eyes on the road, especially on a lot of these narrow roads and different things like that. But I need to have an attitude of prayer. Attitude of prayer. So I'm praying. I'm thinking about things. I'm listening to gospel music all day. I'm listening to gospel music. I'm listening to music uplifting my spirit. All right? I'm listening to preaching during the daytime. I'm getting that stuff in. Why? Because I need all of it I can get. Glory to God. I need it in order to experience the abundant life that Jesus has for me. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is in Jesus Christ. So we need to be persistent with that. We need to pray without ceasing. James tells us in James 1, 5, verse 7, it talks about that you pray and you do not have. Sometimes your motives are not right. We have to examine our motives on what we're praying for. And some things we cannot handle. God is like, how can I bless you with this when you can't even handle that? How can I bless you with more money on this job when you're not tithing on what I'm giving you here? Oh, y'all silent on me now. See, that's the test of faith. Everyone say faith. That's where these things come right on in, because God said, if you're faithful with a few things, I will give you charge over many. So we need to make sure we have the right motives. Also with prayer, we need to trust God that he knows better than we know. Okay. How many times, I'll give you an example. I was praying that I would get this one job. And I mean, this job would be a good paying job. This was years ago. I would drive past that place. I had an inside connection there. I drove by. I stretched forth my hand. How many of y'all have ever done that? I stretched forth my hand toward that building. I said, Lord, that's my job. Brother Hersey, I named it, and I claimed it. Amen. Rico, I blabbed it, and I grabbed it. I reached up into the heavens and pulled it down. That's my job. I didn't get it. I said, wait a minute, God, I did everything the preacher said to do, everything your word says. I believed, had faith. Well, 2 months later, that job closed down. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, God. You know better than I do. I've seen that happen with a house. We just got married and we're going to buy this house. And that house, not only did I name it, I claimed it, blab it, grab it, pulled it down from the heavens. It's yours. You know, if you want it, you can have it. If you need it, it's yours. So I was grabbed it. And not only that, I did a Jericho walk around that house. I walked around that house 7 times. I mean, oh, this is going to happen. I walked around that, and then I even grabbed some of the dirt. This is mine. Everywhere your foot treads is going to be yours. I did, and then we didn't get it. I said, God, I did everything. You know, but then what happened was, and I didn't realize this at the time, I didn't realize that that's in a very low-lying area. And literally, the way it is, the property sits in the house. When it rains hard, you got a pond. You have a house and a pond all around it. I said, Lord, I thank you. Well, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. All the days of my life, Lord. See, God knows better than we know. When prayers don't go the way we should, it's because God, many times it is because God's like, I got better for you. I've got better for you. Now, sometimes prayers, things happen and we do not understand. It's like, Lord, I don't understand why this happened. I prayed for people and I've seen God heal them. I prayed for some others and I've seen them go on home to be with the Lord. Okay? I've seen that. Some things we do not know. And the Bible tells us, though, it's got a verse for that. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says the secret things belong to the Lord. Some things we don't understand. And some stuff hits, and I mean, we got to wrap our head around this thing, man. It's like, Lord, I don't understand. And God wants us to be real. He wants us to be real with him. It's okay to tell God, I don't understand. And sometimes God will reveal, give you peace in the midst of it. Sometimes he'll give you understanding. Or like the old song the saints used to sing, by and by, when the mornings come, we'll understand it better, by and by. Some things we will not understand till we get to heaven. But in the meantime, some things, when you get an understanding on earth on certain things, it's like, God, I saw how you moved with the house when I did not get that. Thank you. You know better than me. I saw when you moved when I didn't get the job. You had better for me. Thank you for that. I saw when you blessed me with my beautiful queen. Thank you for that. God, you know better than I do. And that's where the trust comes in. It has to be like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Our mindset has to be that way. I remember there was a lady I was praying for years ago, one of the older saints in Portsmouth. And I remember praying for her. You know, at that time I was a pastor in a church in Portsmouth. And then that was one of our church members. And she didn't mind praising the Lord. But all of a sudden she had gotten sick and was in the hospital, laying on that bed. And she had a oxygen mask on her face. And I was praying for it. As I was praying for her, I was laid hands and was praying for her. Her son was sitting beside her. And she kept saying, she started like just shaking as I was praying, just shaking. And then she started saying something. She was going, good, God. I couldn't understand what she was saying. I said, what's she saying? I can't understand. Her son said, she's saying, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. And she went on home to be with the Lord. Glory to God. But she went on in saying, God is good. Glory be to God. When I go, I want to go like that. I want to shout, God is good all the time. Rather than going in broken. And she's like, God is good. On her bed of affliction, she was saying that. Amen. Glory be to God. And that blessed my soul. Amen. I tell you, a lot of times you go to help other folks, you go to pray for other folks, you'll be the one being blessed. You'll say, man, I'm so glad I came. I'm so glad. And you see, when you start doing that, that's another thing when you serve. It keeps the problem rather than here, right here. Oh, I have no problems. I see what's going on here. Oh, this is nothing. Lord, you are so good. You are great and greatly to be praised. So just different verses up there, 1 John 5:14. You know, this is the confidence we have that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he hears us. What is his will? The word of God. That's why we need to be students of this word. We need to read that word. We need to read it, familiarize ourselves with it. What's that? Hebrews, Mark 11, 22, we must have faith. That's where it talks about that mountain-moving faith. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. Everyone say rewarder. Of those that diligently seek him. These are just a few. There's over 500 references in the Bible, so I just wanted just a few. Hit the next slide quickly on this one, because we're getting ready to bring this thing for a landing. There's different postures of prayer. 1 Kings 8:22, Solomon stretched forth his hands. Nehemiah 8:6, they bow down before the Lord. Matthew 11:25 and John 17, that's when Jesus said, Lord, I thank you. Before the miracle occurred. See, we got to be people that thank God in advance. He said, Lord, Father, I thank you that you hear me before he fed the 5,000. And John 17:1, the same thing. Hebrews 5:7, that's where it talks about Jesus many times would cry out. We can't be dignified with our praying. Sometimes it's silent. Sometimes it's internal. But sometimes you've got to cry out to the Lord. Jesus did that, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Then the next slide, we have some examples of prayer. These things will build up your faith. You read that Acts chapter 12 with Peter when the whole church was praying for him. Oh, there's power in prayer, saints. You read Acts chapter 16, verse 25, you'll read about Paul and Silas. Here they were locked up in the prison, and they begin to pray and praise God. Things happen when the saints start to pray. Old Hezekiah, the 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord told him, get your house in order or you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the Lord. He cried out to God, and God heard his prayer. I want you to know prayer works tonight. And in that last one, the prayer of Jabez, where Jabez said, Lord, enlarge my territory. It is okay to ask God to bless you. It is okay for him to enlarge your territory, but it all starts with prayer. Am I right about it tonight? Everybody say prayer. 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 Stand to your feet. Give God a hand clap of praise. All give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you in prayer. Prayer changes things. Amen. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I stopped by to tell you that tonight. Whatever your situation is right now, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we close, we have a couple more minutes. If you'd like to come down to the altar, I'm going to do just a corporate prayer so we can get on out. I know a lot of us have work tomorrow. I got to be up driving that 18-wheeler. Some of us got to be going to school tomorrow. But come on down to the altar. I'm going to just do a general prayer. Amen. Amen. Time doesn't permit us to get into this like I would like to, but we scratched the little surface. Amen. And just as Pastor preached the other week, he said, he gave us those blue spoons. He said, I got your blue spoons to stir up your faith. I want to stir up your faith tonight. I want to stir up your faith. We're going to stir it up tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Whatever care you have, lift up your hands right now. Some of you are going through some stuff right now. Some of you have got a diagnosis from the doctor. We're going to lift that up right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing over you right now in the name of Jesus. There's someone here struggling financially. I pray, Lord, for wisdom, financial wisdom in the name of Jesus. There's someone here struggling with depression, Lord. I pray you remove depression, fill them with joy. I pray for marriages right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for children right now, parents right now. We thank you, Lord. We feel your presence right now, Lord God. And we come before you. We're calling on you, Lord. And we thank you in advance, Lord. I pray, put a desire in us put a thirst, put a hunger in us to read your word, to pray, to listen to gospel music, Lord, to shut off the things of the world, Lord God, so we can hear your name, your voice. And we thank you, Lord God. We have an expectation tonight. An expectation. And I pray for your people that came out tonight, Lord. I pray a special touch for them as they go home tonight, Lord, to their destinations, Lord. I pray move by your spirit, Lord God. Dispatch your angels around them, Lord. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, tonight. Give God a hand, clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, be blessed. You're blessed and highly favored. As we finish this week strong, I decree and declare strong finish and breakthrough this week in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God bless you all.